In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are probably more blind than we realize. We look at the men in Scripture and we wonder how Abraham could have slept with Hagar, how Jacob could have taken four wives, or how even Joseph's brothers could have sold him into slavery. To us, it's obvious. But then again, most likely future generations will look back at us and say the same thing about some of the decisions or habits that we have. We too are imperfect. We too are products of our culture, who may fall into error from time to time without even realizing it. We too can be blinded by the world at times. And so thanks be to God that we are saved solely by grace in Christ, outside of us, and yet fully and freely given to us. Those specks in your brother's eye are none of your business, the world says. You are not to make everyone like you, but you are to celebrate diversity. Your God is love, so you can't judge one another, but simply rejoice that there are different kinds of people. Perhaps you've heard similar sentiments by the world from time to time. I've even heard it said among Lutheran circles, "You can't judge me, only God can." And they may cite this passage, but perhaps they should read the whole context. Does not our Lord tell us to first take the plank out of our own eye and then take the speck out of our brother's eye? We're not to ignore that speck in his eye. We're not to leave sin in someone else's life thinking that it's only their business, no problem of ours. It is our responsibility, and we will be held accountable if we just simply let it remain. But at times we are deceived by the world into thinking that it's private. Their life is private. Religion is private. Everything becomes personal. But that just isn't the case. We are the body of Christ. And so we are united together as one. And we are to live together as one. The hand does not neglect the foot. And the legs do not neglect the body. We are the body of Christ, called to live together as one unit in a blessed holy communion with our God, Christ, and with one another. Dear brothers, the encouragement of Scripture is not that your life is yours and what happens in your house is only your business and no one else's. It is Cain who wanted everything to be private and personal. Am I really my brother's keeper? Well, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. You are to watch over them and protect them and guard them and make sure they do not fall into any sin, even as they are to do the same exact thing for you. St. Paul says it this way: if someone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. So you are to watch over, you are to keep watch over your brother. Encourage them to live in godliness and to refrain from sin. You cannot leave those specks in their eye, but you have to pull them out. And by the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you judge them harshly, then you yourself will be judged harshly. And so when we talk to our brother or call them to repentance, we do it as ones who have received the very forgiveness that we seek to give. We cannot exalt ourselves, for we ourselves are sinners. We are forgiven sinners talking to another sinner. We haven't always gotten it right, and we are simply calling on this person to repent and to look to Christ's forgiveness again. And so there's the difference between being nosy and being concerned. We are concerned about their life. We don't search for mistakes, but when they do pop up, it concerns us. And we hold Christ before them so that they may repent. That is love. That is the love a friend shows to a friend, a husband to a wife, or whatever other relationships we have. We always have their best interest in mind, and it is always in their best interest that they have forgiveness. We can't leave those specks in their eye, but taking out splinters hurts, especially when they're in the eye. So do it gently. Do it with love. Speak the truth in love. Warn them so that those specks do not grow into beams and those beams build bridges to hell. Warn them and then direct them back to Christ, the Savior of sinners. He forgives. Regardless of what speck or what beam is there, Christ removes it and forgives. And Christ himself forgets. He forgets all of our sins and offenses. He opens the kingdom of heaven to us. He gives to us his blessings and grace again and again, without reservation, without fear. He washes us and makes us clean and unites us in a holy communion, a blessed fellowship with himself and with one another. So love will not exalt us over each other. The hand does not exalt itself over the foot or the knees above the ankles or any other part of the body. We are all members of one body called to live together and to keep watch over this one body. And so the feet carry the body away from danger. The hand comforts the foot when it has been wounded. Care for one another. Love one another with the love that comes solely from your head, Christ. Don't condemn them, but forgive them. Don't judge them, but save them. Hold Christ before their eyes. The reverse is also true. Don't be offended when someone points out a mistake in your life. They are not trying to nitpick at you or somehow exalt themselves over you, but they are trying to lead you back to Christ. It is easy to give rebuke. It is much harder to receive it. Receive it in humility. We are no better than they. We are all sinners who need the saving blood of Christ. And yet, the more personal the relationship, the harder it is to receive rebuke far from them. A marital relationship or a parental relationship when the son is the one who makes a rebuke. But thank God that he has surrounded us with godly people, Christians. Different relationships, and yet all of whom are striving toward heaven, even as we are. All of whom will direct us back to our Lord and Savior, even as we do it for them. It's a tremendous blessing, this church, the communion of saints that we enjoy, that we are all united together, and we seek to live in that love with one another. But it doesn't just stop with believers. Because we wish that everyone is what we now are. Not thinking the same way, not acting the same way, or voting the same way. That's all irrelevant. But we wish that they were forgiven, even as we are forgiven. And so we speak the truth in love to all people. We cannot remain silent. We cannot let those specks remain in their eyes. For God himself speaks through you. There are no special revelations from God. He doesn't just zap himself into someone. He shows mercy through you. He forgives through you. He shows love through you. And so if you fail to speak, God will not be showing love through you. We are obligated to speak the truth, whether we are young or old. But first we must recognize that we too are still sinners. For one of the main complaints about those in the church is that they act like hypocrites, sitting on their ivory towers, condemning others. We need the very forgiveness that we call the world to receive. And so rather than railing on the world for destroying marriage, we need to look at our hearts and see how we have destroyed this institution. Out of all the unions in the world, out of all the secular institutions, this is the only one that God calls holy. It's holy matrimony. And yet we have not held it up as holy in our own lives. We have not honored our spouse as a priceless gift from God, but we have treated them in shameful ways and saw them as nothing more than someone who can fulfill our desires. We have manipulated, argued, and refused to forgive, or when we have forgiven, we have refused to forget. We are quick to remind them of how they have offended us. We've complained about them to others and have wished that they were more like so-and-so, whether in their looks, their appearances, their actions, or attitude regardless. And whether we are married or unmarried, we have all demeaned the opposite gender. We all know about pornography and crude jokes. And we have all let thoughts of impurity dance around in our minds. So how many more logs can we take out of our eyes? We cannot blame society, but we have only added to the problem. And that is why we are sinners, and yet we are forgiven sinners in Christ. All of it is gone. Because of Christ, all of it is washed away by his holy blood. He is the one who forgives and forgets. He is the one who once again opens the gates of heaven and bids us to come as he unites us back together as a holy body with he himself as our head. And so as forgiven sinners who know how much it hurts and how much Christ heals, as forgiven sinners we hold up this institution of marriage to the world or any other commandment. Tell them that it doesn't restrict our fun. God's not trying to hamper our freedom, but he is showing us what true joy is, found within the bounds of his commands. And then show them that Christ is the Savior of sinners, and that we have the same forgiveness that God now gives to them. We cannot be silent, for this is literally a life or death situation. We just simply can't let the world go its own way. For we have been put in the world to let our light shine in words and in actions. We're not trying to make everyone act like us or be like us. For we have all gathered from throughout different cities in Orange County as one body. We all have different personalities and attitudes and likes and dislikes and abilities and you name it. And yet we are all one, united by Christ. We are all present here to receive the very forgiveness that God himself longs to give. And so we kneel side by side, young and old, grandmas and grandchildren, to receive Christ and his forgiveness yet again. We're not trying to make everyone like us, but when we get to heaven, we will see those ancient Egyptians, some of whom believed, standing right alongside those good old Germans. From every tribe, nation, language, and people. This is our unity, our bond as is found in Christ our Lord. And only the gospel of forgiveness can accomplish this unity. It isn't furthered by voting for the same things. It isn't furthered by trying to create a Christian utopia here on earth. We wait for that in heaven. It hurts to take out splinters, especially when they're found in an eye, but better that we speak now and have them curse us now rather than refusing to speak and have them curse us from hell because we did not love them enough to tell them they were wrong. You will not always say the right thing. You will not always say it in the best way. But nevertheless, the word of the Lord never returns to him empty. Salvation doesn't depend on how well you can argue. Salvation doesn't depend on how well you can quote scripture. It depends solely on Christ, their salvation and our salvation. Hold Christ before them, for he is the Savior. And God loved you so much that he could not withhold his word from you. But he sent that word wrapped in flesh to fulfill that law perfectly where you have failed. All the commandments, from the first to the tenth, are perfect in Christ. He never failed to show love, but even as he stood in the temple grounds with whip in hand, ready to drive out those money changers, he did it because he loved them and was calling them to repentance. His words do not always make us feel good about ourselves. But even when he speaks the harsh condemnations of the law, he is doing it because he loves us. And he bids us to see our sins, repent, and receive his forgiveness. So the law finds its end in Christ, For he has taken out those beams from our eyes and has crossed them and then fastened his body to them. We have not shown mercy as our God is merciful, but we still have a merciful and forgiving God by grace. And so it is in that grace, in that love, that mercy of God that we live and move and speak as we enjoy the unity of the Christian church and encourage one another to continue to repent from their ways and believe in Christ. The judge of all doesn't judge us. He forgives us. And then he gives to us his own holiness. He doesn't condemn us, but he saves us so that we may live in his mansions. And it's why we continue to come back into this sanctuary. From wherever our houses may be, we gather back together as one body, one family, eager to receive God's forgiveness yet again. It is what we want for the world, and it's what we need for ourselves. And so love one another. Love one another as Christ loves them. Love them enough to point out when they stumble. Love them enough to show them that they have a sinner, that they have a Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.